Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. So happy to be here with you today and a little bit sad. It is our last episode of our Ennea Summer 2019, our episode with the Nines. The music in the background that you hear actually is the Enneagram 9 song, the instrumental by Ryan O'Neill, also known as Sleeping at Last. He is incredibly talented. You've got to go read these lyrics and really hear this song, especially if you are a nine or if you love a nine. I would recommend going and listen to it. Go listen to all his stuff, buy his music. He's just the best. We are so thankful that he has partnered with us for this series. Speaking of this series, there are a lot of you guys that have follow-up questions, and we are planning a follow-up Q&A Ennea Summer 2019 show. Here is how you submit the questions. This is the only way you submit the questions. podcast@anniefdowns.com. Email your question. The shorter it is, the better. Get it to the point. podcast@anniefdowns.com. And we are going to get an expert on with us and have a follow-up conversation about all of these numbers and your questions. So podcast@anniefdowns.com. Today on the show with our Enneagram Nines, you guys, you nines out there have been less than patient, and I apologize. Y'all have been waiting on today, and I think you will find it was quite worth your wait. Today, our Enneagram Nines, Jason and Sunny, are just going to tell the truth about what it is like to be inside the head of a nine, and I think you're really going to love it. All right, friends, it is our last show of the Ennea Summer, our Enneagram 9 show, and we have got Beth McCord here with us. Thanks for doing this whole series with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You are such an expert. I'm so grateful
at
how you're sharing your wisdom. So you have a book coming out called Becoming Us in October,
yep,
along with an Enneagram book for each type.
Yep, in December we'll come out with those, so get ready for gifts
for Christmas time. Yes, that's right. We will remind everybody at Christmas that that is coming. And then you have marriage courses coming out this summer for every type, combined with another type, including their own.
Including, like, if you're a nine and a nine together.
So in a world where I marry a seven, can you even imagine?
It'd be a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh.
But we have a course for you.
Explosion of yes. Lots of things. Maybe I'll try it. I haven't dated a seven before, so we'll see what happens. And today we're going to finish up with you talking about yourself with the nines. Aww. Tell me about nines. I love nines so much.
I love nines too, just because I have such, obviously, a heart for them.
Yes.
So our core fear is the fear of conflict, tension, any kind of discord, being overlooked, mm-hmm. And just kind of like think of us as this like lake. And it's still, and then people in the world throw rocks on it, and there's all these ripples. It's like, can you please stop? Uh-huh. I'm enjoying the peaceful scenery. So any kind of disturbance can be really hard for us. What we desire is inner stability and peace of mind. So mm-hmm. like that peaceful, serene lake is mm-hmm. what we're looking for. But it's like this harmony with everyone. Like, why can't we just get along? Like, why can't you see the positive in everyone? Like, so we all commit a suicide where we assume we know other people's perspectives, thoughts, motives. Mm. But nines really try their best to not do that all the time. We're trying to get in other people's shoes to see the world from their vantage point. Which is a really beautiful thing, but it's also really hard because then we don't know ourselves. We flood ourselves out. So we have this inner fog. So where that comes from is the core weakness or passion, which is sloth. And this isn't a physical laziness. We can actually be really active.
Yeah.
But it's an internal of not knowing ourselves, our passions, desires.
And we'll are an object. A still object stays a still object unless a force comes from the outside.
Yeah. So inertia. Yeah. Once we're in motion, oh man, you better watch out.
Yeah, that's right.
We're a force of nature. But if we're at rest, ooh, it's going to be pretty hard to get us moving. We can be very stubborn, very stubborn. And so what we long to hear is your presence matters, because ultimately we don't think our presence matters or our voice matters. And it's a lot of it because we don't know ourselves. Like, and so if we get a glimpse of ourselves, we're like, oh, look at that. That's really awesome. But then it can fade away and we can forget really quickly, because what if what I think about myself or my passions go against yours in any way, shape or form, whether little or big, I'm going to forego myself to make sure you're happy and there's peace. And so we can forget ourselves really easily and go back into that fog. But the gift of a nine, if they have clarity, you better get out of the way.
That's right.
They are a force of nature. So I think of nines and myself as like elephants. So elephants love to play in mud baths together, very communal, very gentle giants. But when they are approached by lions, they are the king of the jungle, and those lions better get out of the way.
Yeah.
And they can charge and stampede. And so that's what I want nines to know is, what is God calling you to? Where is the clarity? Get the clarity and then go. and bless the world, because otherwise we hoard our gifts to ourselves and we don't bless other people. And that's really our heart, is to bless the world. So get clarity and go for it.
Okay, so tell me what God says to nines.
So what Christ and God says to nines is your presence does matter. I mean, think about that. He left his throne in heaven to come and live a brutal life, to be tortured, to die, and to rise again because we matter to him. And if we matter that much to him, you got to believe it. Like, you can't be looking for it from other people. They don't even know how much to give that message to you. Yeah. Like, and they're trying, but Christ does it all day, every day. And so you've got to have that confidence in who you are and whose you are. And when you do that, you'll be that elephant that says, no, I'm the king of the jungle and I'm going to go for it.
Brilliant. I love how nines seem to like sevens.
Yeah.
I have a lot of nines because they all just kind of like, I'm here. Yeah. I'm having a great time. If you want to have fun, I'll have fun too.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're both optimists. And yes. So,
but they don't let me bulldoze them. It's not like I get to decide what their life is.
People always forget to turn the favor back. And even if they do, sometimes the nines are going to try to skirt around it. So don't let them do that.
Yes.
Just ask them deep questions and say, you really matter. I want to listen to you.
Yeah. So tell me what we should plan to hear in this conversation. I'm going to have to work hard, aren't I?
Yeah.
Well, so the nines know each other. Okay. Sunny and Jason know each other because they, both of them were kind of like, I need the questions and I need the person.
So they're going to look for you to guide the conversation. Mm-hmm. They'll probably be pretty open and transparent, especially since they know each other. But you're going to find a lot of encouragement atmosphere towards one another and you. What you might find, and it's kind of a funny word to use, but like this kumbaya moment where they really are going to be affirming, encouraging, supporting one another, but also you at the same time. And they're going to let you lead, but when you hand it over to them, what I'm hoping that you're going to hear is the courage to stand up and have clarity and say their piece. Mm. Now, did you give them the questions ahead of time?
Yes.
Okay, good. So they have thought through them. Where you're going to also hear uncertainty is if anything gets shifted, because nines can be slow in their thought process about themselves. And so if you direct too much directly at them, if you're talking about nines in general, they could talk all day long. If you say, tell me about you, all of a sudden the fog comes. And it's like, I don't know. Because I do that on the podcast and they're like, what's your favorite vacation? And I'm like, I don't know.
But nines would love to go.
It's like I do. But in the moment, it all becomes a fog really quickly.
Okay.
So listen for the fog and the uncertainty, but also listen for the clarity and the support.
Okay. Yay. I can't wait for this conversation. Here are Enneagram Nines, Sunny and Jason. So great.
Can this be the shortest podcast you've ever done?
I mean, time will tell, Jay. We'll see. First of all, we're going to do what we've done at every show. Tell me how long you were waiting before I saw you. How long have you been out in the parking lot? What time did you actually get here? We were recording at 1 o'clock. What time did you actually get here, Sunny?
12:42.
Jason.
I think I pulled in behind her, but I was in the parking lot next door for about an hour, a little over an hour, but I had tacos first.
Why did you not come in?
Because the assigned time was 1 o'clock, and I'm not going to show up at 12 for, I'll show up at 12:42 for a 1 o'clock, but I'm not showing up at 11:42 for a 1 o'clock.
Why? What do you think I would think if you showed up early?
You wouldn't think anything, but it's just like, you know, you don't just come barging in on people before you're supposed to.
There's like, you have to be reasonable.
Yeah. Early, but reasonably.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm going to love this so much. I am just so happy about all of this. Okay. The first thing we need to do that I forget sometimes is, will you tell us your first name? Tell us married, single kids, all that story. And tell me how you spend your day, what you do.
Yes. My name is Sunny. And I am married to Phil, who is an Enneagram 7.
Yes.
We've been married for 13 and a half years, so we're an awkward teenager as a couple. And then we have a son, Rock, who's 10, a daughter, Ever, who's 7, and a daughter, Daily, who is 4. And I work part-time for a nonprofit called the Nashville Fellows Program. So I'm a program coordinator. I do a lot of admin type work for them. It's a great organization. Look it up. And then I mom it the rest of the time.
Yeah. I love it. Who are you, sir?
I forgot the questions.
Give it your best.
I'm Jason. I am a tour manager. So I either spend my days running around doing whatever it is on like an 18-hour day, or I sit at home and do nothing.
And watch baseball.
And watch baseball. Yes, exactly.
And not married.
No.
So I like when we have a combo show because it shows a lot of different sides of how your number plays out. So I like for people to know that. Sunny, how do you feel about the Enneagram?
I like it. It's been a huge help, especially in my marriage. So I think,
really?
Yeah, I think for a long time, just our differences in marriage felt personal. It felt like the choices you're making or the things that you're doing are affecting me negatively, or like felt like you're doing it, like you must not like me. How did you choose that? Or why did you? And once we've like found the Enneagram in our marriage, it totally took it out of like, oh, like this is just how you're wired. This has nothing to do with me as your spouse. Like, without me around, you do these same things. Like for a long time, it felt like we just were feeding not well off of each other in our numbers, but we didn't know why.
Mm.
So,
and y'all got married young?
Yeah. So I was 20, just turned 20, and Phil was 23.
Okay.
So. Whole bucket of things. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, as a Sunny, as an individual person, do you feel like it has helped you knowing your nineness?
Yeah, I think so. I found the Enneagram through, I went through a season of pretty intense counseling between my two daughters. So it was about 6 years ago. And the counselor used it. And that's where I first heard about it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So I took the test through the counselor, and then we just used it a lot in like processing and talking things out. And I think, I've cried about my number a lot. Like I think I struggle with accepting the hard parts of a nine. Like I wish I could be different. So it's not like, oh, like I love this. This is so fun. More it's like, ugh. Like, why? Like, yeah. I know why. I can see it on paper now. But
I struggle with the worst parts about being a 7, too.
Yeah. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it puts a spotlight on why I do some of the things I do that feel irritating. And then I think it's helpful to kind of know, okay, like, I'm going to unhealthy places. Or I'm being more healthy. I think that's I like that part of it for me, for myself.
Jay, how do you feel about the Enneagram?
Probably not like this answer.
You can say the truth. I know who I asked to be on the show.
As long as you're aware.
Uh-huh.
I'm sort of opposed to all of those things that I feel like label me or identify me, which probably is a bad thing. That's probably more on me. But any of sort of like the Myers-Briggs, the this or that, I've just sort of avoided them for a long time. And I think either, you know, just for fear of it or just acknowledging or figuring out who I am or doing that work. I think like Sunny was saying with her and Phil, you kind of figured out you need to figure out the other person being single and sort of, you know, most of my life being sort of single by myself. I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm fine. I can like kind of cruise through this. But having discovered it and still relatively new to it, maybe it's a very nine thing. I've had the Road Back to You
book. Yeah, how long have you had the Road Back to You book, Jason?
When did it come out?
When did I give it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several years ago.
Yeah, I think so.
But I've had the intention to read it for...
And I didn't give it to you because you didn't want it. You asked about it, and no, I had a copy. And
I wanted it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. No, just to be clear, I wasn't forcing it upon any of my friends.
Everyone was talking about it. Like, it was probably 3 years ago, I'm guessing, at this point in time, when I'd never heard of it. And then 3 years ago, it sort of like... seemingly overnight, everybody was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is intriguing. And like, I should probably learn about this and myself and other people and all that. So I got it from you, carried it literally all over the world. Like I've had it in my backpack with the intention of reading it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Took it on vacation, took it on work trips, took it on personal trips, and never opened it. And started one time, I think it starts with an 8. And I was like, I'm nothing like this. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then just the 9 was the next chapter. And most people had said that I probably was a 9. And so I was like, I don't know about this. And then so finally, recently, I've kind of gotten into it. And it definitely like explains a lot. I can relate to it a lot more than I was hoping I would be able to.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. So when you read about a 9, that feels true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Same, Sunny. You like knew.
Oh, yeah. Like real fast.
Yeah.
It was not. There was not much of a question mark for me. Once I saw what the 9 was about, I was like, ooh, yep, That's me.
Tell me what a nine's afraid of. What scares y'all?
Doing podcasts?
I know. And I'm so grateful. When you said yes, I was like, everyone quietly accept this.
Can we talk about that, yes. though? Yeah. I said yes because I didn't want to say no. Because I figured you had probably either asked other people or had considered other things. And so, like, me saying no would have, like, somehow caused conflict or would have caused disagreement or would have put you in a bad place. And so I didn't do it because I necessarily wanted to do it. I did it because I feel like if you were asking, then there was, like, a purpose behind it. And so I should do it.
Wow.
Or because, yeah, because it's important to somebody else.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I need to do that. Like, there's so few things in my life that I do because I want to.
Yes, 100%.
Almost everything I do, if I'm motivated to do something, it's because it matters to someone else and I care about them. And that's the only thing that's motivating me.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that makes me extra grateful. Y'all also should be warned, I've cried 3 times today about other things, so this is for sure going to happen with y'all. Also, do y'all know y'all are only the second set of the 9 who know each other? Oh. The 4s knew each other, and everyone else has been strangers. But I was like, when I was picking 9s, because you can see the list on the wall behind you, there were other options. When I was picking 9s, I was like, you know who I think would actually do this if they were together is Sunny and Jason.
Yeah, that may have been, I can't remember if she was on board first, but I feel like she would have had
she
to
was
have been
on board
for,
first. Yes.
For me to say yes.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
So for bad. Sure, that was true. Okay, so
I will say, going back to like pulling in the parking lot, like I thought that was you that pulled in front of me, and I even like sat there for a few minutes. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Sunny. Like looking at the clock, looking at that, I was like, okay, I think it's safe to like go inside now.
Yeah,
and he got out first, and then I saw him, and I was like, oh, okay, good, I can go in.
Y'all, so my assistant Jenna is also 9, and behind y'all, she is nodding furiously at everything you're saying. So I'm pretty sure now she only took the job to work for me because she was afraid of what would happen if she didn't. For me, she was. You guys, y'all just always think about other people that much.
Yes.
But but I think also, like I was saying with the identifying, or it saves me sometimes from like maybe some self introspection that I need to do. But yes, but like it's always sort of whatever. And to the serious answer to the afraid question, to get back to that, is I think I'm always like most afraid of like making the wrong decision in like whatever it is. And so I think if I take myself out of it, I'm like, okay, other people, like I can help that, or I can facilitate that, and then not worry about like making a wrong decision on like my behalf, because I can go fill in somebody else or help somebody else not make a wrong decision or help somebody else ease somebody else's something. So it's easier to do that than it is to like figure out my own stuff.
True, Sunny?
Yes. I was going, like, in all of that, I was thinking like, I hate being in charge. Like, I absolutely hate being in charge.
Do you? I think that's why you're a great tour manager too, Jay, is that y'all.
But doesn't that make you in charge? That's where I've been a little confused. I'm like, how
does
he handle
this?
This is
for me, not for y'all.
This
is for me, not for y'all.
How do you handle your job every day? Because I look at your job and think that means you're in charge all the time.
You know, I almost feel like that I have like two different personality, different lives or whatever it is. Like at home, and it's sort of like the inertia thing. At home, I won't do anything. I'll sit around all day. I'll relax. I'll go out to eat lunch, come back, go for a run, do nothing, and like waste a whole day. And then on the road, it's like, okay, well now I've got to like, and it might be back to the other person because it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's about like a team or a person or whatever. And then it's like, okay, so with this, it's like, I'm up at this time and going to bed, you know, you're up, you're working 18-hour days and you're all over the place. And so it's like, but I think even with that, I can make decisions on behalf of their people or in this like greater, to serve a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. But I would also say that probably the two people that I work closest with would still say that I struggle making decisions, even on the job.
Even on the job, yeah.
Like when you have to.
Because I actually don't think the tour manager is in charge. I think the tour manager executes everything. Someone else makes most of the, like you didn't pick the city y'all are going to.
No, all of that's done ahead of time.
Right.
But yeah, but all
so
the stuff.
So you're fitting into a form that's kind of already prescribed a bit.
Yeah, somebody's like, here's where you're going, go make it happen.
Okay.
But there are definitely times where it's like, well, what about this? Or like.
Or like if the bus breaks down.
Yeah.
Like, you have to figure that
out. That's on
right?
me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But I think the part of it is like, I want to be the one to wake up in the middle of the night so everybody else can sleep. Like, it's like, you guys, like, do your thing. Like, I've got this. Whether I do or not, like, that's sort of like, I want everybody else to be like, okay, you guys should do your thing. Go have fun. Go sleep. Whatever. We'll figure this out.
Okay.
So how do people, this is, you hate this, your face. You hate what he's saying.
His job. Yeah. His job makes me, well, I feel, it's so funny because I've been, in my brain, I've been thinking through just kind of who I was before kids. And I felt so much more capable in my life before I became a wife and a mom. Like, those things then put labels on me and what I thought that meant. And in a sense, like I couldn't, I don't have a day where I can just do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I was such a more like personable, fun person before I had titles. And then mm-hmm. the titles have made it so much harder for me to, like, I'm like waiting for permission to take a back seat, but I always feel like I gotta show up for everybody all the time. And I put myself at the bottom of the totem pole. Like, generally no one else is doing that to me, but
both of you do that.
Like, mm-hmm. I can't rest. I cannot take it easy if things are uneasy. But when are things ever not uneasy in a family, you know?
Do you ever rest though? In like your guts?
No, not like that. Yeah. I say I think I have sort of a blank slate, so to speak. Like, I can do whatever I want, and then I end up doing the same thing every day, or worrying about the same things every day, or, you know, figuring out what the next thing is, or like, what do I need to be doing? What should I be doing? What can I be doing for, what does so-and-so need that I could maybe like do? And so I just do nothing and sit on the couch all day.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that bad, but
no, you don't. You eat a Baja.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
You do eat.
That's
the same
where
place.
I see you, Jason.
Yes,
that's literally where anyone who wants to see Jason can see Jason is a Baja at 12:30,
at the earliest.
Yeah,
that's like this 1 o'clock thing kind of messed me up because like we're in my lunch hour right now,
and yet
I got tacos earlier today.
You didn't even tell me.
No, I'm not going to change anything. People got stuff going on. I don't.
It's so funny.
Sunny has a family to worry about. If she can do 1 o'clock, I can do 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's kind.
How do y'all feel like people love you?
I feel like people don't, like, know me. Mm-hmm. I have, like, it's so hard, I think, to communicate. Like, I don't even know what it means to love me, to tell somebody. That's my biggest struggle is, like, what does it mean to love me? Like, what fills me up? What, like, brings me comfort? And, I don't know. It is a big struggle to even, like, find the words that means to tell somebody. And usually I'll come up with something, but it feels like a half-truth or a half, like, yeah, this does make me feel loved, but not, like, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not, I'm not withholding that information on purpose. It's just that I really don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes me so much introspective time to really come up with, and safe time if I'm going to be talking, like, safe, protected space to process. Because if I'm processing and then they're, like, someone has a question or, like, interrupts that process for me, a lot of times it'll just shut off and I can't keep going down that road of figuring it out anymore.
Yeah, no, I 100%. Agree and relate to everything you just said, for sure. I think that's why there was that long, awkward pause. They're like, who's going to take this and how do we answer no to that question? It's like, I mean, I think for me, it goes back to the whole, like, sort of avoiding things in general of, like, if I don't know myself enough, then I don't know how I can have somebody or expect somebody else to love me. But I also can't really communicate. I feel like I deserve love. Like, it's not that. It's just I don't know how to communicate or then reciprocate or respond to that. Mm-hmm. Without necessarily know what I, it also feels weird to tell somebody like what you need.
Does that feel true?
It's so risky.
Really?
It's very risky. Like, if I'm actually going to get to the point of having an opinion and then expected to speak it out, like, it feels like so sacred. And even in processing it, I felt like, gosh, like that kind of feels selfish a little bit. And I struggle with like the selfishness thing. I want, well, like, I'm not going to do that because that's selfish. That's selfish. Like, that's where I'll go in my head. But like realizing how, yeah, like it's just, it's hard to get there to say it to then. Like, it's almost better to not say what I need than to say it and not get it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah. Because I feel like in that case, like, if you don't say it, then you're still, like, internalizing it, or it's still, like, it's on you or it's some part of you, and then you're not setting up yourself for disappointment or any of the, or potential conflict or any of that kind of stuff.
But then it's if like you say it. Like, preserving, self-preserving.
Yeah. If you say it and don't get it, then that's, like, crushing. You're just like, I finally, like, came to something and then didn't get it. Which is like the worst possible thing, or it feels that way.
Yeah. Even in down to simple things like where to go to eat on a date, or
tried to figure out dinner a few weeks ago. And I was like, I don't know how to help him.
Yeah.
I was like, I can keep saying places. He was trying. The story is Jason was trying to make sure I could eat somewhere that doesn't have, wasn't eating a ton of meat, that doesn't have dairy. So he's processing that, not thinking at all what he wants. I'm trying to help him want something so that I can help him eat somewhere he wants. And we sat in a car for a long time.
Yeah, that's my buddy Chris and I. We go to dinner most every Tuesday night, and we laugh at each other every Tuesday night because it's, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Here's a list of 10 places. Where do you want to go? I don't know. You decide. Tell me where to go. And then he will push it back on me and be like, where do you want to go?
Oh my gosh.
And we literally spend 20 minutes every Tuesday. And we end up at like the same, one of the same two or three places every single time.
Yeah.
And y'all are even aware of it.
Like,
when we were making that decision, I was aware of it. Were you aware of it? Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents were like, when I go home, it's like, where do you want to eat? I don't know. I don't live here.
Yeah.
You know?
Just
tell me where we're going to eat. You know, yes, it's all the time.
But then when someone tells you where you're going to eat, are you genuinely happy with the decision?
Sometimes.
Yeah, most of the, I think I'm pretty easygoing when it comes to, like, if we're talking specifically, like, restaurants. Like,
right. I know you're easy about food, Jay.
I'm easy about food. When it comes to other things, it kind of depends. Like, there are definitely times where I have an opinion and don't want to express it, but there's also times where I'm just kind of like, I genuinely don't care because I...
How do we know the difference? How do your people know the difference?
I mean, I think that one's on us. Honestly, like, because I don't know that you can tell the difference. And sometimes I don't know the difference until after the fact.
So is it me saying to you twice, Sonny, do you want to go do this? And you say, yeah, of course, whatever you want to do. And I go, okay, Sonny, are you sure you want to go to the zoo? And that second time is when you get to decide whether you tell me the truth. Okay.
Totally. Yeah.
And then I just have to believe after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I feel like, I've had to learn very much to take responsibility for my inaction and my, like, not disclosing what I want. Because for a long time, I felt like life's just happening to me. Like, things are just happening. And I felt like I didn't have any say or control in it until I realized, my choice has been to take a step back and to not do anything. And that's the same thing. Like, all these things that have happened, my role... My action has been inaction, and that still produces something. And so that was really eye-opening and hard to accept that, okay, like I can do nothing and watch my life go by, or I can be an active participant in it. Neither of which, I mean, the inaction is more comfortable in the moment, but I think when you step back and look at 10 years in your life and you're like, what in the world? Like, what happened? That doesn't feel good. So I have to put the work into, okay, if I really do care about this, I need to say what I need to say. But it is so just, it's not natural at all to do that.
Yeah.
I will say about restaurants, though, because I'm married to 7. We figured out, so my husband's like, options, 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 options. And I'm like, 2 options. Give me 2. Like, I can handle 2 options. But if you're going to give me 10, then I feel paralyzed. So I can generally deal with like a minimal amount of options, and then can out of those 2 be like, okay, I feel confident about this choice.
And the trust built over time with Phil,
yes,
probably helps.
Or the multiple misunderstandings, and the multiple, let's try that again, or whatever. Right. And I don't know, I felt like Sevens or Phil, they has a hard time making choices too. Like the two of us together are kind of a
but
mess.
The reasons are different.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all because you can't pick, and us because we want all of them. Like the answer is yes, all of them.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't care which one because all of them are fun to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And even like two is too many for me sometimes because I'm like, what if you have a strong feeling on the other one and like you're really hoping that I
always
pick,
know that's in your head.
That I
just feel like you're
going to
mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I'm totally going to pick the wrong one.
Yeah.
Like, not that there is a wrong one, but yeah, 100%. Like even that, it's like A or B. I'm like, both are probably cool. Like, sure, whichever one. You just decide and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because the cost is too high if you pick the one that is you consider wrong.
Yes.
Or if it's like a crappy experience or like if something happens there and it was you're the one that like agreed to it, then it feels like this blaring, like it's your fault. It's your fault.
That literally happened the other day with a family that I've known for 20 years and they don't live in town. They were in town visiting family that does live in town. And they were like, hey, like pick where you want to go to eat. Where should we go to eat tonight? And I'm like, no, like I don't want that. Like they're like, it's fine. So I kind of got it down to like three places and I'm like, any of these? And then finally, like the guy was like, he's like, I will say I made the decision. I'll own this decision if that would make you like feel better. And I was like, well, no, because I still know that I did it. But like, what if you don't like it? What if it's not a good place? What if I think it's good and you don't? Or any of those kind of things. Like that's constantly running through my mind, no matter like what decision it is.
Well, I think for me in those moments, like it comes back to like my greatest fear as a nine is that like.
Yeah, good. That you're doing great. Nothing feels worse to me than when. What's your greatest fear?
My greatest fear is when like if I feel like I can't handle it, that you're going to leave me. Like if I can't handle A, B, C, or D, then you're going to leave. Like it's disconnection. It's like if I'm too hard to be around or I made the wrong choice or you're like disgruntled because of something I did, like I'm always just afraid that somebody's going to be like, never mind about you.
Yeah. I mean, what was the,
I'll give you the actual question. You can fill it in. Sunny, thank you for both of you. Thank you for saying all these true things. Nothing is worse to me than when I feel.
Period.
Oh my gosh, Jason. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But I think like along with this, yes, I mean, I definitely relate to what Sunny said
oh
is that
gosh.
like I think like sort of my biggest like fears other than being on this podcast right now.
You're doing great, bud.
You are.
Sunny's doing great. But is sort of that like fear of commitment and rejection of like equal parts of like, you know, if I'm like into this thing and I disappoint somebody, are they going to leave? Is it there? Like, what is the commitment level? Or then like, if you get rejected for whatever reason, a particular fine reason in dating and whatever it is, jobs, whatever, but it's like, oh, what did I do? Like, did I say something wrong? Like, what could I have done to fix that? What, how do I not let that happen? Like all of those sorts of things. So I think as a result of all of those things, it's like either like I feel worse when I like either let somebody down or don't like do what I'm supposed to do or any of those sorts of things, which I then go back to like, oh, because I've messed up, I'm going to get fired. Or because I messed up, like this person's going to walk away and not trust me anymore or not want me to be a part of whatever's happening anymore.
Yeah. So you just try so hard not to be in a situation where you have to feel.
So that's why it's like, a peace thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
Like not too happy, not too sad, like just middle ground. Let's just stay right in this middle space.
100%. Yes. If you can avoid, yeah.
And
avoid
I don't
like
know.
Peaks and valleys. It's
I don't know if this is related, but I watch a lot of baseball. I love baseball. Baseball like takes me to this like a little bit happy.
I'm going to start seeing Instagram posts of the two of y'all at Sounds games all the time. And me and Phil and all of your rest of your friends being like,
what's going on?
All your friends be there? No. The two of y'all?
No.
Y'all just need to nine out for a little bit by yourselves.
Yeah. If I'm at a baseball game, yeah, I don't know. It's always been that way for me. Like that was like sort of the thing, like growing up, it was like that was and has been even now.
That was the thing what? Finish the sentence. That was the thing that.
It was the thing I was like gravitated towards. I don't know why. I also think it was the thing that like. I saw like, I'm an only child as well. So like I saw my dad like making the sacrifices of like, I was the little kid that was like, I want to get there as soon as the doors open and get autographs and see batting practice. And I want to be like the last person to leave and all of that. And my dad, who probably around that time was like my age, to think about, I have no responsibility. I do whatever I want. He's like working and doing this and doing this. And then also like leaving straight from work and going to like a baseball game and sitting there all night and coming home. But baseball has always been sort of.
But he's committed to you in that. He showed up for you.
Exactly.
And you expressed what you wanted.
Yeah, well, I wanted baseball. I can tell you that. I want to go to a baseball game now.
Like, yeah, I know you do. You want to be anywhere.
Yeah. Anywhere right here. That's true. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Sunny, what made you start talking about baseball? What brought that to your mind?
Just the not too happy, not too sad. Just like the steadiness.
Yeah.
It's so funny, too, because I've tried, like, my life has taken turns in which I can't ignore pain. Like, I can't not go to those valley places. And so I've felt myself, I'm more comfortable there because I trust that God is going to go to those places with me and I won't be left alone in those places. But I'm discovering probably in the last 6 months that I am terrified of, like, a lot of joy. Extreme joy makes me so afraid. And I feel like God's going to leave me if I'm too happy or if I'm too excited. So I'm like struggling through that of just even choosing. Like, I mean, if joy happens, that's great. If you're like hanging out with friends, it happens. But to plan a trip or to like really have an opinion about what brings me joy feels like incredible risk to me.
Do you think you don't deserve it or is it just like?
I feel like God will leave. Like, she's fine now. I'm going to step away. And then who knows what will happen. Then everything will crash down because he's going to leave me. So that's been funky.
Yeah. Oh, that's the problem. How are you not crying and I am?
I hate crying.
Oh, okay. I hate crying too.
Yeah, I don't think I have in decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not true.
Maybe when the Cubs won the World Series.
Oh, my God.
Happy crying.
No, but I agree with it. But I think in like mine is much more of like a, because I'm, again, like, so I don't have like the family side that this kind of side. Like mine, I sort of, like, and I'm a workaholic. Like when I'm working, I'm doing it. But in work, when we've had some like pretty cool things happen, I'm the same way. I'm like, this is amazing, but I can't enjoy it too much because if I let my guard down, then I make a mistake and then I get fired because of having too much fun. Or like I've let myself enjoy this moment that we've all worked really hard for, but it's like, it's not my moment. So if I like start enjoying it too much, then it'll be taken away or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing or those sorts of things. So it definitely is like, I'll let myself go lower than I will go higher.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's some sort of like penance or some sort of like something in that where it's like, okay, well I can be like down now and that's okay because then I can like work my way back up.
Yeah.
But if you get too high, like the fall is worse than like the climb back up.
Than even getting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally resonate with that for sure.
Talk about how that affects your spiritual life.
I think the big thing for me in that is learning sort of like who I am, whose I am, like where I am, that it's like I'm, you know, to borrow Tim Keller and probably everybody else, it's like I'm way worse than I think I am. But like he's way better than I could imagine he is. Mm-hmm. And so to like trust that I'm important or that I matter. I think I need to hear that a lot. It's like that my voice matters, my opinion matters. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then by extension to other people. But yes, that's where it starts there. And then once you have that confidence, then it's easier to step out into something or into anything really because it starts there. But yeah, I think it's the big thing is just sort of like, I'm not important. It doesn't matter what I like. I shouldn't be happy because like that's something for other people to be, you know, but it's like,
but you should plan all the things that make other people happy, but you shouldn't experience it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's their thing. Like, it's not like my thing is to put them out there and to not like follow with sort of thing.
Well, I feel like I'm waiting for someone to give me permission all the time to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I get, I don't know, it's so odd, but like the things that bring me joy most of the time are when like, and they're silly things that bring me joy. Like right now in this season of my life.
You're going to have to tell me this too, so be thinking.
in mothering, Tuesdays are my work from home days when the kids all go to school. And y'all, Tuesdays, I'm sorry. I love Tuesdays. I never know how to respond because I'm like, I love Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Because it's just me at my house getting my work done at a pace that I can handle. And I might be able to do something like fit, like choosing the music I want to listen to or eating whatever I want to eat. But I have permission because I'm working. So it's like, this is work time. And so I don't have to like do housework. I don't have to do any of the other things because this time's allotted for this. But in that, I can make my own choices and I can be my own person. And so in that, I'm like, well, I have permission to do things for myself right now.
Yeah.
Which, can I just say, there's a mug over here that says Tuesday. And so for a second, I thought today was Tuesday. And I was like, oh, no, we're taking away your day.
My favorite day.
Yeah, we're like sabotaging your day. And then I realized it's not Tuesday.
Yeah, but summer takes away my Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. What brings you joy?
Baseball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in all seriousness, there is a big part of that. It's just like, I think being outside is a big thing for me. Like just getting up, sitting on my porch, like doing work, checking, just doing, if I can be doing sort of whatever it is, if I'm outside or at a baseball game or doing those kind of things, I can kind of like cope with whatever it is. Like I just
like
don't
tap
like.
Tap into your soul kind of.
Yeah.
Like I have space to do that.
Because if there's one other person there, you care more about them than yourself.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And they can be at a baseball game or outside.
I know you're not talking about me.
Yeah. But no, like when I try to do a lot of personal traveling too. It's very hard to like plan that or do it. And I think the same thing. It's like, I will do anything if somebody else initiates it. If somebody's like, let's go to the thing, let's go hiking, let's take a trip, let's go wherever it is. I'm like, yeah, I'm down for that. But I'm not going to be the one that's like, hey, let's go do this because of like, well, what if they don't want to? Or what if they say no? Or what if a million other things? But I'm always down for something, but I'm not going to be the one that's like, let's go do it.
Is it worse if someone says no, or is it worse if they are there and you're not sure if they're there because they want to be or because you want them to be?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know that either of those are worse. They both feel pretty, I don't.
But I think that's why I avoid initiating.
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, because you don't want either.
I don't want either of those. Oh, if somebody asks me, then I know it's their decision to include me into it.
And yet with here, you still wondered my motives.
No, I just wondered my own more so.
Oh.
But I assumed your motives were wherever they were to ask me, so I couldn't say no.
Oh, okay.
To
okay.
Do
okay.
It.
Okay. Now
it became about me, not about you. Basically,
that's it. Got it. I get it.
But yeah.
I get it.
But no. Yeah. If the whole like me asking thing is very much like, I don't know if they're gonna say no or yes for the wrong reasons or whatever, so I'm just not gonna ask. And then I'll wait for somebody else to ask me to do something, and then I know they want me to be there. I think it's worse for me to be somewhere that I don't want to be or that I'm not wanted to be than it is the other. Like I'll say yes to something if I'm not 100% sure about it, just because I've been like included to it, which may be why I'm on this, versus the other.
Yeah, and I find a lot of value in showing up in general. Like I feel like showing up for people is a big deal. And
man, that is a great thing about y'all.
I want to do that as much as I can. And I think it's been hard for me having a spouse and kids because I feel so much of that social energy like drained all the time. So I've found that if I do have space, like when you said sitting on your porch, I'm like, God, I love sitting on my porch. But if I get a chance to do those things, to like kind of do whatever I want for even 30 minutes in a day, then I'm more apt to be up for stuff. So like when Phil and I are planning things, I'm like, let's get there and let me get settled and let me have some time to maybe read for an hour and then we can probably do some really fun stuff. But I can't tell you that right now. Like right now, if you're making all these plans and have all these grand ideas, I want to say no to all of them, but I'm going to say yes because I love you and then we're going to probably fight the whole time.
Wow.
So I'm trying to learn because I'm like, when you have someone in your life that's like consistently needs you to show up like a spouse to where you're not like, okay, I can enter in, but then I can retreat. Like it almost feels like you always are thinking of them or need to think of them. Like I've learned that in order to find life at all for myself, like I have to speak up somehow. And it's still very much not natural, but even like silly things like for my birthday, I've learned that I need to go to Phil and say, this is what I want for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And then, so I have to give myself 3 weeks or so to really, really think about it. And then usually I have a lot more fun if I can do that. But if I'm not kind of sticking up for myself or having some idea of myself in our marriage, it can easily become like he's done 20 things and I've done none, and neither of us are aware of it, but we're real angsty, you know, and we don't know why. So,
and y'all gotten better at it how? Just by saying it?
I mean, we've gotten better at it by, like counseling and reading books and figuring each other. You know, there's been a lot of outside help to kind of broaden our brains around how it's supposed to work. And it's so not perfect. We're planning a trip right now. Like, first trip we've gone away from the kids in a really long time, and it's not been very fun for either of us. He's like, we haven't planned anything. And I'm like, we've planned so much. So we're supposed to go next week. So we'll see.
Next week?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gracious.
I'm fine with doing like two or three big things and then the rest just meandering or like not having something prescribed. But, you know, feels like all the things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to come home exhausted. Mm-hmm. That's just not my style. Yeah. But.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation with our Enneagram 9s to tell you a little about an Enneagram assessment and report called IEQ9. My friend Ian Morgan Cron, y'all know him. He's the author of The Road Back to You, which you've heard me mention 1,000 times on this show. He recently launched what they believe is the most accurate and in-depth Enneagram assessment and report available today, the IEQ9. The level of research and testing used to design and refine it is unprecedented. If you're unsure what Enneagram type you are, then the IEQ9 assessment is for you. Now, if you already know your type, like I do, seven, right? Remember that knowing your core number is just the starting point. The IEQ9 assessment and report not only explores your wing influences and your subtypes, but also shows you how your type affects how you communicate, give, and receive feedback, and act on a team. You guys, there are so many layers to explore. It is such a fun assessment to take. With the IEQ9, you get in-depth information designed specifically for you and your Enneagram type. We're talking 20 pages with the standard report or 41 pages with the pro report. And Ian's being a really good friend to us. You know, this is the only Enneagram assessment I've told you all about. They are offering 10% off for my friends. So if you go to ianmorgancrone.com/thatsoundsfun and enter the promo code FUN10 to learn more and get your 10% off on either the standard or the pro IEQ9 Enneagram report today. And you can follow Ian on all the channels, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everything at Ian Morgan Crone. Again, that's ianmorgancrone.com/thatsoundsfun. The promo code is FUN10 and you get 10% off. So if you are still discovering your Enneagram type and all the other parts of the Enneagram, this assessment is one really good way to continue on your journey. So I hope you'll give it a try. Now back to our friends, Sunny and Jason.
The having people up close to you until you marry someone is how you refine that, like how you get better, like she's talking about how you get better at expressing what you need. Who do you tell what you really want?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think like, I want to say there was like a stagnation. I don't know if that's the right word.
It's a fancy word.
But I do think that there is like, there's possibly.
I mean, can you remember times in your life where you have? Because I feel like they're so definitive a lot for nines. Like that one moment I said what I wanted. Like if you're actually going to do it, I feel like sometimes it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I think there have been strange enough, the first thing you said when you said it is like, I think about the times that I was like, not in like a healthy way or not in like a what I wanted to grow way, but in like the anger side, like sort of like coming out. I remember like
the bubbling over,
which doesn't answer your question at all if we just talked about.
Go.
Like I do like know like these two like sort of like hallmark times where in life and work, whatever it is, like very even keel, very sort of whatever, but there is a little bit of that, the anger thing and passive aggressiveness most of the time. Like you may figure it out because I'm going to kind of say it like that. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple of things where two things happened and neither one were directly related to me. It was still more of like somebody got offended by something or we had talked about something and somebody else did the opposite that directly affected somebody else. And those are the two times that I just like, remember like snapping.
Yeah.
And like, I still remember.
At people?
At people.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know this.
Like, and very much. But I think those are the times where I'm just like, oh gosh, like where did that come from? And like, why? And what does that look like? And what does that mean? And
yeah.
But those are sort of more like the tentpole times that I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know about like in not a bad way, but in like a different way instead of like a I want this for myself
yeah,
sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, I think like Keith or friends or friendships that I have or, you know, sort of this like standing like Tuesday night thing that I've got with a buddy. Like I think those are the times where it's like, hey, here's me or kind of thing. Or I don't know, it's hard for me to go there. And so I think it's hard for me to let somebody else like go through that door as well. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think there's less personal growth than probably there should be because of like how withdrawn I am. But I'm also like fine with that in a way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I've been on a rocket ship of personal growth. My 20s have been like an explosion into personal growth. I've been like, Lord, please make it stop. But like the anger thing, I mean, with three kids, the anger thing has been real.
We've talked about this before.
So
yeah.
Real. And I very much have had to learn to communicate, like to actually find the words to communicate how I'm feeling to my children so I don't blow up. And there have been times where I have blown up at them. And then using that, like, okay, guys, remember how mommy blows up sometimes? Like, I'm getting that point, okay? It's coming. It's starting to happen. So if you
just
can
like
really,
knowing.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant,
like,
Sunny.
Getting to the point of actually saying to them to where they can understand, like, okay, none of us, like, mommy doesn't even like when that happens. Like, that feels out of control and not fun for me, too. So can we please, like, can you please listen to me or stop doing that behavior or whatever? And it's usually not all of them, but it's usually like I have these work emails that I need to get back to, but I don't know when I'm going to be able to get them done. And then I have like Phil needs this and I don't have what I need to make dinner. And then the kid, like it's usually a lot of things. It's not just them, but it comes out toward them more and it can be pretty overwhelming. But having to be like, if I don't want to cause crazy damage on them, like mm-hmm. I need to figure out how to have the words for this, mm-hmm. which is also not, it's just not natural. Having words for anything is very unnatural for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's true for you too. So,
yeah.
I agree.
So tell me, what can people say to you or do for you that makes you feel really loved?
Personally, like I feel like if someone can give me space to say what I need to say, that feels so loving and respectful. Mm-hmm. So, which is where I find a lot of solace in counseling because it's space. It's space to process. Like, I don't have to have the answers. I don't have to know exactly how to answer. I can meander as much as I need to meander to get mm-hmm. to how I actually feel, which in everyday life, I don't feel like I get that. And so that's where I feel like people don't really know me. Because I feel like I have to have quick answers. I feel like I have to, like, I can't ever get there. I can't ever tell you what I want to tell you because it takes too much time to get there. So I think allowing the space for me, and I think if I actually do share an opinion with you as a friend or a close relative, that's a really big deal. Like, that I do trust you and that, like, and it's okay. Like, I want people to know, like, I don't have to get my way if I share my opinion with you, but just know that that is that's sacred ground to me. If I've gotten to a place in our friendship that you, and for you to notice of, like, oh, good job, you have an opinion. Like, getting some sort of it's a long answer, but I was thinking about this earlier. Like, I think as a kid, like, I think nines as kids are really awesome to be around. Mm. Like, I think they
I think nines as adults are really awesome to be around, just to be
so
clear.
Sweet.
I really mean that.
But I think, like, nine kids are compliant, and they're kind, and they're more apt to share, and they're more, I think they're just more pleasant and, like kind of, but those same things as an adult are not as pleasant. Like, a compliant adult feels so, like, not awesome. And so I've had to learn, like, when I speak up or when I do think, like, when I assert myself, I'm like, good job, Sunny. I feel like I'm trying to, like, reverse, like, the things in my head, like, where I would, you know, do something to serve someone else as a kid. And that's how I got love and attention as a kid. Now, as an adult, I'm like, when I do say something that I need to say, I have to be like, good job, Sunny. Like, mm-hmm. good job. Like, give yourself the type of reward. And if that comes from another person, that's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, good job. You had some feelings. That's great.
Yeah, you can express yourself today. Yeah. No, I think, and I think that, so you should have asked her the question about my friends, because that was a good answer for that too. I think just like the knowledge or the safety of like that I can like express my feelings around them or to them is just sort of that like unspoken, like, okay, this is a safe place. And I appreciate sort of the fact that I can like,
yeah,
say something wrong or stupid or whatever, yeah. And it's like they're not going to leave, or they're not going to be like, it's going to be whatever, you're an idiot, or right. you're not, or whatever it is, not like in a bad way, but that's very important. But like the feeling loved, I don't know, I think that's like a hard thing as well. But I think for me, it's just, it's, I think maybe because of the way that I interact, like if somebody like either like does something or gives me something, or just like the time spent, it's just like if somebody does something that lets me know, either for me, to me, around me, whatever it is, that's, that signifies like, oh, I was like thinking about you, or like I saw this and thought about you, or I wanted to do this, or I wanted yeah. to give you this, or even just like going out of the way to say like, hey, let's go do this, or anything
but just
like
because,
that.
Just because.
Yeah, just yeah. because. It's like, okay, like, and that sort of reinforces that like, oh, well, I do like matter, and like you want to spend time with me, or you want to do yeah. this. And so that like makes me feel loved and appreciated, just in the fact of like somebody took some of their like valuable time to like spend it on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I second that.
Those are good answers that will be helpful for people who love nines. What do you wish people knew about you that they don't know?
Like about our number or about us personally?
Either one.
I'm so quirky, y'all. Like, I'm so weird.
We do know that about
Is
you.
That a nine thing? Are nines just weird? I'm trying so hard. Now that I have a 10-year-old, I'm constantly getting like, you're weird. And I'm like, I know. But now I really, really know.
Yeah.
I think when I get comfortable, and I think mostly it's with girlfriends yeah. or with my family, like, I'm just such a
you're
weird.
You're hilarious. Goofball. You're not weird. So, I think you're so funny.
I do, like, cooking voices with Daily, and she uh-huh. is just like, can you do that weird voice with me? And I will. And Phil will come home from work, and he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, I'm the cooker, okay? I'm making food, okay?
Well done. I do like that about you, though. That, but your friends do know that. But maybe there's a quirky side to nines that people get. I mean, that's kind of true about you, too.
I'm just weird.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
I don't even know like, how to do it. It's just like its own brand, or what I thought was its own brand.
Until right now.
Where it's like, yeah. I don't even know like how to describe it. It's just like, yeah, he's just, don't worry about that.
Oh,
it's,
Jason,
it's
that
fine.
Makes me happy about yeah. you.
Yeah.
But I think it's only up close that people get that. That's not like what you would put on the internet.
I don't put anything on the internet.
You don't put any. You don't either, hardly, Sunny.
I don't a lot. I feel, I really think about what I put on the internet, and not in a, like, that it has to be prescribed, but I want it to mean, I always want it to mean something if I'm putting it on there. It's hard for me to just throw something up just because.
So the internet would never know either of y'all have a quirky side, as you call it.
No.
No.
Although sometimes, I do weird stories sometimes, and Phil's like, hey, babe. You shared that with everybody. I'm like,
is that how you're going to feel after this?
Maybe.
Yeah, see, I've never.
You tell
like,
me.
Yeah, I've never done a story. Like, if like anything that I post is like, I posted something recently and my buddy went back and was like, that was the first time in 3 years you've posted like a human face on your thing.
Oh,
and I was like,
wow.
Oh, well, yeah.
And were you aware of that or not? Like when you posted that after a long break, did you know, were you like, oh, like I haven't done this in a while?
I knew I hadn't posted in a while. I didn't think about the fact that I hadn't posted like a human in even longer.
Yeah.
But I knew it was almost like something I didn't post. And I was like, gosh, this is something like I felt like I needed to put.
Yeah.
But it definitely was like a lot of like back and forth. And like,
yeah,
I feel like I, a lot of times with like my posting or lack thereof, it's like, one, who cares? Mm-hmm. Two, like, if anyone does care, are they going to consider this as like that I'm bragging, mm-hmm. that like I'm doing this? Like, yeah. And so I just sort of like, all right, it's just better to not. Like, I'll send it to a few of my friends, and then that's it. Like, not everybody needs to.
I kind of love that. I feel like just that you are still sharing it.
But yeah, that y'all, it is a, it does feel sacred on the non-nine side when y'all invite us into that stuff. Because I know that nines don't let everyone. But that's true about sevens too. Y'all both get friendship with me that the world doesn't get. But it does feel sacred when nines invite other people into their like most important things.
Yeah.
Because y'all don't do that as freely as some other numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and I want to say too, okay. This hasn't come up yet, but I am tired all the time as a nine. I just want to put, like, I feel.
Nodding furiously behind you.
Everything is exhausting. Like everything.
Yeah.
And I've been like a realist is what the negative things that come out of my mouth more frequently. I'm like, well, I'm just a realist. But ultimately, if I'm doing stuff with the kids or have stuff in the day or our schedule is really busy and talking to my seven husband, I'll say, it was good, but it was a lot. Mm. And I follow that up for everything. Mm. I'm like, it was a lot. Yeah. And I just feel that all the time about life, like the whole gut triad and the, yeah. if our schedule's too packed, I feel like I can't connect with myself. Mm. So that's huge. Mm. I need some space in my week to have nothing.
Yeah.
Which I was talking to a three friend lately, and he was saying, like, if I have downtime in my schedule, I feel like I can't breathe. That freaks me out. I'm like, I have the complete opposite.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If I have too much in my schedule, that makes me feel like I can't breathe.
Yeah.
So that's a very real thing I'm dealing with on the regular.
Yeah.
Like, naps are great. I love naps.
But do you nap?
I don't nap, but I just, like, I think mine is, like, naturally built in because, like, my schedule is sort of, like, you know, I work really hard 4 days a week. And then 3 days a week, I have nothing. Yeah. And so those days, I just like stay in bed until 11 o'clock. When you're in bed until 11 a.m., you don't need to have a nap because then you just
day's almost over.
You wake up at lunch and then it's done.
That's why you don't eat till 12:30 because you've only had a lunch. Now I'm understanding something I haven't known for a decade.
Exactly.
He's eating breakfast and lunch at Baja. Yeah,
yes.
That's happening.
If they had breakfast tacos, I would so be there.
Oh my gosh, I wish they had breakfast tacos. Should we say that to Troy? Have you ever said that to him?
I never have, but...
Troy, give us breakfast tacos.
Have you been to Tempo?
Our friend Gabe is...
Yes, Gabe and Keeley.
Opening a place, hopefully, soon.
Until then.
We're back on Baja Burrito somehow now.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, Troy. And then, sorry, one thing I wanted to...
We
may be getting there.
No,
I don't know if we're here
going.
Or not,
you're
but
fine.
I sort of, like, promised my friends that I would talk about this because as we were discussing this, it was sort of, like, we haven't really gotten to, like... We kind of have, like, the sloth, sort of, like, the inertia kind of thing, like, with me, like, with work, we're doing that. I remodeled my house and it took like 6 months. And as a nine non-decision making person, I sort of learned a lot during that process.
Really?
And so, yes. And relied on the kindness of friends a lot during that process. Like, I think Bethany probably wanted to kill me several times, mm-hmm. but like it was,
I'm sure she didn't. You think that? You can't be sure.
Did
she say it?
Maybe not in those exact
See,
words.
See, that's nine stuff. That's your nine brain telling you that. Maybe she just loves you and likes helping you.
To an extent. I think I can frustrate even the most.
Well, but
like,
6 months seems like a good... Like, I feel like a bad nine, it could take 3 years.
He also lived with them.
Yeah.
During that time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. But with that, like, I say all that to say is, like, having endless decisions was, like, incredibly, like...
So hard.
Yes, because it's just, like, a blank slate. And the contractor's like... Well, what do you want?
Ugh.
I'm like, I have no idea. Like, what do people do? What do people put there? What colors do people use these days? Like, okay, but like, what do I do? What do people do? Like, all of that. And then we finally got through that process. And then the fact of, like, these things that need to happen. Like, I've been in the house for 5 months now. And I literally got toilet paper holders and towel racks and bathroom mirrors hung yesterday.
Oh, yay.
Woo.
That's good.
But all that to say is like, I see it like
time.
Every day
yeah.
for 6 months, 5 months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the fact of like, so I can make decisions like at work and that's like, okay. When it comes to like my home, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah. When it's like the toilet paper stuff, it's like a mild annoyance, but not enough to where you're going to take action to do something.
It's not
about
enough to
it.
Move you out yeah. of the slothness.
Yeah. yeah. And the mirror can like sit on the counter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, it should be right here, but it's right there and it's fine.
Yeah.
Because then I've got to like call somebody. I've got to get the stuff. I've got to do it. I've got to figure out what this, that, and the other. And so I just feel like that was like a good sort of like the nine thing of just like, I mean, I felt that. And I think my friends felt that of like, when they came over, it's like, oh, that's still not there? Like, okay. Like,
oh, that's a problem?
And have you hung up the posters yet?
No.
Have you picked out the 10?
No. I've put them, I've taken
wait,
them out of one
wait,
room.
Wait,
and
you haven't picked out the 10?
No.
That's all you had to do.
I know.
Was pick 10 out of 60.
That's
and then we were going
to. Yeah, that's 60 decisions I have to make.
It's how? So, I mean,
I don't understand. I don't understand. All you had to in our whole friendship, you've rendered me speechless once, and that was just right now.
Yes.
The idea.
But I mean, is it really that surprising? Yeah, it's like there's decisions. Like you've got to pick and choose and prioritize. And
what's the date? Didn't you want it before your parents got here?
Yeah, that's why the toilet paper things are now hung because my mom literally would have like probably disowned me had they not been up by the time she got here.
Okay, so that became priority one.
Because someone else's eyes are on top, are looking at it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this matters to them. So now I need to take action.
Yeah, that's how you said about the posters too, though.
Well, yeah, but then the toilet paper holders and mirrors
took precedence.
Because like that was like one phone call I could make to get all that stuff done. Because my contractor has something to do that. The posters, I have to decide what posters. I have to figure out who's going to come and do it. Then have them come and do it. And then picking out the posters is one decision. Where to hang them is a second decision.
Yeah.
Who's going to do it is a third decision. When they're going to do it is a fourth decision.
Sonny's heavy breathing over here.
Yeah. So, but that's literally how every decision in the house went.
Yeah.
And it literally came down to like, you know, Brad being like, my contractor being like, have you decided on this yet? Nope.
No.
Well, tomorrow we have to know. It's like, well, I guess I'm going to decide today then.
Yeah.
Like I will put off every decision until like reading the book or looking at the questions that were sent or... Any of those, I see them and I'm like, I really need to get on that. And then I'm like,
but doesn't like hang out with you on your shoulder? That's how I feel. I feel like all those loose ends just hang out with me on my shoulder, but I don't do anything about them.
I'm constantly thinking about
it
and like worrying about them and getting to do them.
And you know they're there, but you're just like, and then you finally get them done and you're like, why did I wait so long?
Yes.
I feel so much better.
Yeah.
It's maddening. I'm a maintainer, so I can maintain systems and I can maintain cleanliness.
Yeah, and objects in motion. Y'all can.
But I cannot be like, I am not a visionary. Like, and I like doing the extras, like cleaning extras. And like Phil, if he wants to clean, he's gonna pull the whole couch out to vacuum. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, people can't say like, that. Doesn't matter.
I can maintain.
Yeah.
I am not gonna go the extra mile to do
this.
Whereas
sevens, we want it all clean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very, like, I'm great, doing the consistent house stuff. But if it takes something bigger, it doesn't happen. So,
is there anything else we haven't said about nines that you want to say? Anything else you and your friends decided you need to say?
Probably, but I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, I guess one thing, yes, I did want to say. Well, do you have more questions?
No. I mean, no.
No. Yeah. One thing I want to say is that the thing that I love about being a nine is that I am so comfortable and okay with God, the mystery of God. I don't need concrete answers.
I'm glad you said that.
I so love the bigness and the openness and the unendingness of God. And I feel...
Do you feel that too, Jay?
I do, yeah. And I feel like that in turn is why I think I like being outside, like what sounds good or what's like this, all this, where am I happy or what I find joy is like, national parks, like places where I can see like these like natural wonders and just be like, there is no way to like explain this or to like, like bottle this up or like a picture doesn't do it justice, even though it's amazing. Like anything that's sort of like, I'm definitely okay with like bigness and majesty and wonder and sort of like just that's cool and I can't explain it or fathom it. And that's great.
Like that is actually a resting place for me. Wow. I've I don't have to have this figured out. Yeah. Like this is, it's a comfort to not have all the answers. I don't need to have all the answers. So mm-hmm. I really do. I'm thankful for that piece of who I am and the nine-ness in that.
Is there other things you're thankful about being a nine too?
I feel like I'm pretty personable. Like I feel like I can get along with a lot of different mm-hmm. people, which sometimes exhausts me, but in the grand scheme, like I really do like that about just kind of being able to mesh and enjoy different walks of life and not feel threatened or I can only, hang out with these sorts of people. Sure. Like I feel like there's value. I find a lot of value in different people, which I love.
Yeah, I think you can see and understand like all sides or all mm-hmm. everything. It's like, I can relate to that. I can relate to that. You know, it's like,
yeah,
that makes sense. And the next person says there, I'm like, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah.
But so I think that's like maybe the blessing and the curse is like you see everything from all sides, but then you see everything from all sides.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I have to choose now? Like, I don't know about that. But yeah, like I love the fact that you sort of like, I feel like I can like mesh into sort of like what the situation is and like kind of blend in and get along and have fun in those situations because you can kind of relate to any situation or any person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We did it. How do you feel?
Good.
Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be? Yeah.
No.
You can say yes.
I'm glad it's done.
It was hard at the beginning. I think my heart was pounding so fast for 20 minutes.
I think it was oftentimes like a lot of things like that I do, like the buildup is like worse than the actual like action.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, you both did awesome. And
you're just saying that.
I know this is what I'm going to say, and you're trapped in my office, and I get to say it. Is that you both can believe me every time I tell you I want to be around you, and every time I tell you that I love you, that I really mean it.
Thanks, Annie.
I almost did it without crying. Okay, the last question we always ask, because the show is called That Sounds Fun. What do you do for fun? Can't answer baseball.
Then I have no answer.
I'm a monster, son.
I think I like to wander. I like going to new places and experiencing things, but I really like to wander. I love bookstores. I love when I'm in a healthy place where I don't need, where there's just no constrictions or timetables. And so I love that. I absolutely love, if everything aligns to be sitting on my porch reading a book while my kids are also reading a book. That brings me so much joy. It hardly ever happens, but I have some hope as they get older it will become a more of a normal thing.
Certainly.
But going on walks, some of my best memories are being with Phil and just walking and talking and having it be free flowing and really, really fun. But I like whitewater rafting
and
some more adventurous things, but it just takes me a little time to thaw to get there.
Right. Oh my God. Thaw. Jay, what do you do for fun?
I mean, my real answer is going to a baseball game.
I know.
That's what I want to do. But I think still the same thing is hiking, camping, going to national parks. I love traveling. Like I've done a good bit, but there's still a lot more that I want to do mm-hmm. and some parks I haven't been to. But I don't think just being outside in sort of the open massiveness of nature and just sort of realizing that I'm small and that's okay. And this is cool. And this sort of helps me just to get away from everything.
Yeah.
But also going to a baseball game.
Go Cubs. That's a real friendship moment that I said go Cubs over
that
real team.
And go Gamecocks.
Go Gamecocks.
That's a good for fun.
I'll do that one time.
I go to University of South Carolina sporting events because that's the best.
Okay. I'll let you say
sporting
that.
Sporting events.
You've really suffered for me today.
Are the best.
Yeah. Yeah. The one time Jason and I can ever agree is when Georgia is playing South Carolina, no matter what.
He's stroking the fire over here.
Braves Cup. Oh, you're right. You're right. Yes.
I'm getting towards the Braves. I'm getting toward not hating the Braves, but it's still the Cubs are still waiting.
I love all teams, you guys.
Thank you so much.
I legitimately don't cheer for special. I watch sporting events where
you're such a nine.
I am. I can't even commit to a team.
Oh, you guys, I just love them both and think the world of both of them. And I am so thankful that they made time. And for whatever reason, they said yes to being on the show. I'm glad they did.
I'm just so thankful. So our series is wrapped up, you guys. That's it. 1 through 9. Enea Summer 2019 is over. Again, if you have any questions, we're going to do one more show coming up next month. If you have any questions, email us at podcast@anniefdowns.com. That is not where you send an email if you want to tell me to have a guest on. That's not where you send me an email if you want to tell me a story. That is purely for questions for the podcast. Jenna, the dear CAO, Chief Annie Officer here at Downs Books Incorporated, Jenna will be pulling all those together. And so podcast@anniefdowns.com. Hey, and I just want to say thank you for how you guys have loved this series and shared this series. We have seen in just an unprecedented response. And I had no idea. When we were dreaming this up last year, we just had no idea that you guys would love this the way you have. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so grateful. I love doing stuff that makes y'all happy. So it makes me really happy that you're happy. So thank you for your kind words. And as we continue to look forward into 2019 and 2020, do not hesitate to reach out on socials and tell me what you would love to see us do again, continue to do, or do differently. I'm way open to that. Hey, coming up in July, we've got a really fun month, a couple of weeks with some extra shows. Of course, we'll have this Q&A show for you. Also, my birthday is on a Sunday, and we have a show on that Sunday that I think you're really going to love. So make sure you subscribe to That Sounds Fun so you don't miss any of what we've got coming in the next few weeks. And if you need anything else from me, you guys know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs all over the internet. F as in favorites, because today the 9s are my favorites. So Annie F. Downs, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you may need me. That's how you can find me. I think that's it for me today, you guys. It's been an emotional one. So you guys go out and do something that sounds fun to you. You know I'm going to do the same. And we will see you back here on Monday. Have a great weekend. Love you, mean it. And be nice to your 9s. Oh gosh, go be nice to a 9.